I taken my girl for a ride one night, rode in a Cadillac. But I don't think she liked to ride, cause she wanted to walk back. And then we went again one night, rode in a rattle trail. Rode all night till the break of daylight, and then I had to throw her out.
You're in Duck's House. We're going to be listening to some blues and old-time music. The set's starting out with David McCarn from 1930, Take Them for a Ride.
Now all these Carolina girls, they're easy on the hook. But when you take them out, you've got to watch your pocketbook. They used to stroll in daytime and chew their chewing gum. But now they ride around at night and drink 10 cent bay rum. Now some girls like to drive your car, and some they like to snooze. But my girl likes to pet the best when she's full of booze. Her daddy loved her mama, her mama she loved men. Now her mama's in the graveyard and her daddy's in the pen. Jack and Jill. I soon found out the love to pet in a Newport automobile. Now one of these were wonderful. She danced and she could sing. But the other one had a hump on her back from shaking that doggone thing.
I'm Duck Landis, and you're in Duck's House. That was Johnny Dodd's Washboard Six performing Bucktown Stomp. And here's Trixie Smith. Jack, I'm mellow. Art Hodes Columbia Quintet with Royal Garden Blues. And before that, we heard Bunny Berrigan playing Jazzy Blues. Next, we're going to hear Jim Lowe, The Green Door.
Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door. Not once tried to tell them I've been there. Door slammed. Hospitality's thin there. Wonder just what's going on in there. Saw an eyeball peeping through a smoky cloud behind the green door. When I said Joe sent me, someone laughed out loud behind the green door. All I want to do is join the happy crowd behind the green door. Sleeping, watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? Green door!
Ladies and gentlemen, and assembled phonograph owners, especially those of you with needles, it has come to my attention that a great many of the mothers in this country are mothers of children. Now, this is good and bad. For sometimes, just when you are about to go out to your weekly meeting of the Saturday Night Backgammon and Load Your Own Dice Society, the little tots will come up to you and ask you to tell them just one more fairy tale before you leave. Well, now, frequently, you just don't have the time for the full story. So today, I shall give a brief lesson on how to tell a complete fairy tale in half the normal time. Are we ready? Then here, just as fast as I can tell it, is the story of Little Red Riding Hood. Well, once upon a time, a little girl lived with a mother in a big, great big house near the side of the woods. The name of the little girl was Little Red Riding Hood. One day, her mother said to her, Red, she said, Red, your grandmother's lying in a little house near the side of the woods with a broken arm. Last night, she was celebrating her 93rd birthday, and she slipped on a beer bottle and broke her arm. Now, I fixed up a very nice basket of goodies for you to take to your grandma. Little Red Riding Hood said, what's in the basket, Ma? What's in the basket, And her mother said, oh, not much in the basket, just an apple, an orange, a lemon, a lime, a pickle, a pie, and a pound of steak, a bottle of butter, and a box of beans, a carrot, a cake, and a can of corn, a herring, a hog, a hat full of hash, and 14 doses of bicarbonate of soda. Now, Red, she said, now, Red, you take this basket to your grandma's house on the other side of the wood, but don't go through the woods, take the bus. Well, you know how a kid is about a little thing like that. They don't pay attention to what the mother says. Bush, my shoe takes the bus. So off she goes walking through the woods. Well, it's a very pretty day. The sun is shining. The world is bright. When all of a sudden, she hears a terrible cry. Arr! And what do you think hops out of the woods? What do you think hops out of the woods? A wolf. A great, big, nasty wolf. And the wolf says, what do you got in the basket, babe? What do you got in the basket? And she says, what do you care what I got in the basket? I got an apple, an orange, a lemon, a lime, a pickle, a pie, and a pound of steak, a bottle, a bun, a box of beans, a carrot, a cake, a can of corn, a herring, a hog, a hat full of hash, none of your big, fat business. Well, so what does the wolf do? What does he do? He goes, he takes a shortcut through the woods to Grandma's house. And before you can say boo, he breaks into the house and he eats Grandma all of it. Excuse me. And then what does he do? Then what does he do to this big bear wolf? He puts all of Grandma's clothes on. And believe it or not, he looks just like Grandma, looks exactly like Grandma. They both needed a shave. And he no sooner gets into the bed than what does he hear coming? Who does he hear coming? The Little Red Riding Hood. She walks into her grandma's house, she knocks on the door, knock, 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 knock. The wolf says, come in. She goes in, says, hi, Grandma, how's the kid? The wolf says, just fine. What do you got in the basket? Eat, gad, says Red. I got an apple, an orange, a lemon, a pickle, a pie, a pound of steak, a bottle, a bun, a box of beans, a carrot, a cake, a can of corn, a herring, a hog, a hat full of hash, and I hope you choke on the stuff. And just then she begins to notice something funny. She says to the wolf, she says, jeepers, creepers, what big tapers, Grandma. And the wolf says, duh, better to see you with, my dear. And Red says, and get a load of those ears. Have you been frightened by a helicopter? And the wolf says, duh, better to hear you with, my dear. Yeah, but get a load of them teeth, says Red. And with that, the wolf hops out of bed and yells, the better to eat you with, my dear. Ah! Well, the action really starts. Round around the room, the wolf is chasing Red, and Red is yelling, save me, save me. Why don't somebody come in and save me? And outside the cottage is a big lumberjack who is sawing down trees. And when he hears Red screaming, he picks up his axe, runs into the house, and clonk, he bops the wolf right on top of a noggin, a hole in one. My hero, yells Red, my hero, will you marry me? And the woodsman says, I'd love to marry you. But before I marry you, you gotta answer one question.
What have you got in the basket, babe? She says, I've got an apple, an orange, a lemon, a lime, a pickle, a pine, a pound of steak, a bottle of butter, a box of beans, a carrot, a cake, a can of corn, a herring, a hog, and nuts, let her go. So she goes back home, settles down, becomes an old maid, lives happily ever after. And that is the story of Little Red Riding Hood.
That was Gary Moore, Little Red Riding Hood. And here's Al Jazbo Collins, Three Little Pigs.
Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time in the land of Ooh Papa Dow, there lived three little pigs. One of them was very cool, another was more on the commercial side, and the third was definitely square. One day, as the three little pigs were taking five, they heard that a big bad wolf was making the local scene on a one-nighter. And knowing that his approach signaled danger, they immediately set about the business of constructing shelter. The square little pig swung a quick GI loan, and in cut time threw up a real frantic bungalow, complete with wall-to-wall floors and a TV antenna. The commercial little pig laid out for a few bars, and then moved into a prefab joint out of the high rent district. But the cool little pig goofed altogether, and at the last possible minute built himself a real purple light shack out of clarinet reeds and scotch tape. Well, sir, the big bad wolf blew in as advertised, and the first place he went looking for action was to the shack of the third little pig. And applying his hairy knuckles to the door, he laid down a crazy paradiddle and said, "Man, it's a raid." "Jack," said the pig, "it's after closing." "Don't hand me that jazz," the wolf said. "Open up." "Sorry," said the pig, "you gotta make reservations." "Charlie," said the wolf, "if you don't open that door, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down." "Just tell me one thing," said the pig. "What condition is your lip in?" Enraged at this impertinence, the wolf came on like Joshua, the walls came tumbling down, and in no time at all, the little pig was really gone. The following day, the wolf knocked at the door of the second little pig. "Who calls like?" said the pig. "Never mind," said the wolf. "Open the portal and give me some skin, pig." "Or give me some pigskin, as the case may be." "Not by the hairs on my chinny chin chin," said the pig. "Bless my soul," said the wolf, "it's dizzy." "No, it ain't," said the pig. "Well, then it must be, Jazbo," said the wolf. "Wrong again," said the pig. "Tell you what," said the wolf, "I'll just peek through your keyhole." "In a pig's eye you will," said the little pig, which angered the wolf so much that he forthwith blew the joint down and swallowed up the pig. The next day, the wolf fell by the domicile of the cool little pig and rapped on the door. "Have no fear," he said. "Big Joe is here." "Man," said the pig, "you've had it. Blow." "Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I understand there's a session going on here today," said the wolf. "I'd like to sit in." "I'm hip," said the pig. "And if you'll just slide down the chimney as per instructions in the script, I'll really give you something to sit in." At this, the wolf leapt to the roof, and in so doing, dislodged the brick, which fell down the chimney and clanged against the great iron pot in the fireplace. "What was that?" the wolf shouted. "E flat," said the pig, "and man, it's your chorus. Fall in." And fall in the wolf did, down the chimney and into the boiling pot. The little pig clapped the cover on the pot and let it simmer for 48 over a low flame. When at last he lifted the cover, he smiled broadly. "Ah," he said, "my favorite soup, cream of nowhere."
"Game getting tight in this town. All the bootleggers all closing down because we can't fight. We can't fight. Now I'm getting dry. We can't fight no more. I went 5 hours where I used to stay. But I haven't got no liquor today because we can't fight. We can't fight. Now I'm getting dry. We can't fight no more. Now the bootleggers crying. like they sing. Everywhere you go, you can hear them sing, because we can't fight. We can't fight. How you can try, we can't fight no more. I tried Big Mama just for you, but 35 years will never do, because we can't fight. We can't fight. I'm getting right, we can't fight no more. I used to get it for 25 cents a pint. Now they closing all the moonshine joints, because we can't fight. Now we can't fight. I'm getting right, we can't fight no more. Now it's ain't no use to weep, ain't no use to wail. If you drop them in the hoop, you're going to jail, because we can't fight. Now we can't fight. I'll get them dry. We can't fight no more. All the bootleggers going to get a job. They're going to shine that every day working mob, because we can't fight. Now we can't fight. Out of town, get some dry. We can't fight no more. I like my whiskey, like my wine, but I can't pay no $10,000 fine, because we can't fight. Now we can't fight. Out of town, get some dry. We can't fight no more.
That was Papa Charlie Jackson from 1929. We can't buy it no more. You've been listening to Duck's House. We're going to play this set out with a track from Harry James, Backbeat Boogie. Thanks for listening.